You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
And welcome to another issue of Mighty Marvel Geeks. Ken's having technical issues, but I got lucky. We're being joined by the one, the only, Uncle Servo himself from Sorcom Review, Eric Allen. How you doing tonight, Eric?
I'm feeling very flattered with that introduction. You made me actually sound like I'm some sort of celebrity or something, dude.
Hey, we're all celebrities onto ourselves.
Oh, okay. All right.
But no, you're one of the top dogs here on Sorcerer Radio.
Well, you know, hey, I'm just happy that I can contribute. So, and now that we got that BS out of the way, let's get on to some Marvel stuff.
Oh, yes. Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy has just out-earned the Boy Scout movie from the other publisher.
Oh, from the distinguished competition, as it were.
Guardians of the Galaxy, what's the numbers, has now grossed $294 million in the U.S., according to Box Office Mojo. That is more than last year's Man of Steel from Warner Brothers, which took in $291 million domestically.
Okay, first, let me stop you right here and now.
Okay.
The last time you and I talked,
uh-huh,
you had not seen Guardians of the Galaxy. Please tell me you have corrected that rather egregious oversight.
Unfortunately, because of a lot of issues outside of the shows and outside of my job, I have yet to see Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, man.
No, it's a travesty, and it's killing me because I really want to go, but there's been a lot of other hurdles that have taken precedence.
Well, so. some things do have to take precedence, so understand that. Well, the fortunate thing for you, then, is that Guardians has, like, ungodly staying power at the box office. I mean, this is, what, the fourth week in a row that it is the number one movie?
Yeah, it's been out, 6 weeks? And it took the number two spot for 1 week. I don't even remember who it lost number one's ranking to. It might have been Turtles, maybe. No, I don't think it was Turtles.
No, I don't think it was Turtles. It was,
Something else, but second week it dropped to number two and then went right back up to number one right afterwards.
Yeah, and I think just personally, I think that what you're seeing here in the fact that it outgained, out-revenued the Man of Steel, I think it's especially telling. This is DC's poster boy.
Yeah.
When you think of DC Comics, you think of the big boy scout with the S on his chest. Lately, it's been more Batman, but still, this guy was the very first superhero. Action Comics number one.
Yep.
And he got beat, and he has now officially gotten beat out
by a tree.
By a group of characters that, by and large, were second rate heroes.
By and large, in the comic world, was considered a garbage group. You know, and here's a garbage group being turned into gold.
Rocket got his own series for a short while. I think it was from anything else. And Star-Lord as well had a series. Those are the only two that had their own series.
Right.
Everybody else has been, like, supporting cast.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's amazing. And a lot of people, I remember a lot of people were poo-pooing this, said, could this be the movie that breaks Marvel's string?
I think so. I really do. It's almost surpassed Captain America if it hasn't already. What can you do? Marvel, when it comes to the big screen, they own it. I don't think DC's ever going to catch up. There's no way Batman Loves Superman or Batman Hearts Superman is going to do anything affect the Marvel universe.
They're not going to catch up with Marvel as long as they let Zack Snyder direct.
This is not a
knock on Snyder, okay? Because I've seen, I love Watchmen, okay? Snyder, I have issues with Watchmen. what he did on the storyline wise, I understand why, but
Alan Moore has issues as well.
Yeah, but I think he did as good a job as anybody possibly could bringing that story to the screen.
Right.
And he's done other movies that I thought were good, and I even liked his work. I liked his work elsewhere. I almost said, yeah, I liked him in the Dark Knight, but that wasn't him.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, that was Nolan.
Right.
But the problem, as I see it with DC, they want to make their superheroes gritty and edgy and dark. And it works for Batman, but it doesn't work for anybody else, really.
Exactly.
With Marvel, they're just like, these guys are who they are. There are moments of grit. There are moments of funny. And
right.
They're closer to the spirit of the original comic book incarnations than...
Well, I think the other thing is, too, you know, Warner Brothers continues the whole... premise from DC, our heroes are always heroes from the get-go. Whereas with Marvel, you know, and they show it. I mean, look at Tony Stark, alcoholic, party guy.
Yeah.
Convoy gets blown up. He's now got to fight for survival. Goes from being a monster into a hero. You know, the whole transformation. That seems more realistic with the heroes. Now, mind you, I've always said growing up, I was more of a DC kid than I was a Marvel kid. But I'll tell you, now, as an adult, I'm more Marvel. I mean, there's still one or two books that I'll pick up from DC, but most of my stuff's Marvel now. And it's more because it's a more real or reality-based fiction that it seems more plausible. It's more grounded. The one character I would see from DC that could fit, and I know people are going to write to us at mmg@weebiegeeks.net arguing this with me, but it's my opinion. I think Batman could function great in the Marvel Universe because of the whole, he became a monster because he started off as a monster because he wanted to avenge his parents' death, and then turned into a hero as he became a greater detective.
I think you just hit on it. Detective. That's what it's lacking right now. The thing that makes Batman awesome. Yes, he is rich. Yes, he builds and buys gadgets to help him thwart the bad guys.
Right.
But it's to support his primary focus is as a detective.
Exactly.
That's where he's best. So exactly. Yep. You focus on that, and I think you've still got a winning combination.
Right.
I mean, at his best, Batman is a crime drama.
Oh yeah, and that even stems from Detective Comics is where he debuted.
Yeah.
So I guess the question, getting back to Guardians.
Were we talking about Marvel stuff to begin with?
This is a Marvel show.
Oh, I knew there was a catch here.
But you know, it's all right. Should a garbage team, so to speak, with Guardians that has turned into gold, should they be looked at as a threat by anyone else who wants to do a superhero movie, including Sony and Fox, who has Marvel properties?
Yes, I think that any studio that is looking to do a superhero ensemble movie, if they've got half a brain, they've already wet their pants, because this was the bottom of the barrel in many respects.
Yeah.
And this thing just it's well on its way to become, you know, one of the top Marvel movies of all time.
I think it's heading in the direction of it's going to become one of the top three all-time superhero movies.
Well, that's the thing. It's not really a superhero movie, though.
True.
It's more sci-fi space fantasy.
Okay.
Because, I mean, if you go in, and I'm hoping I'm not spoiling it for you, but if you go into this movie when you finally get a chance to do it, and you're expecting, you know, superheroes and spandex, you're not going to get it.
Right.
This is almost like the A team in space.
Right. Then let me rephrase. I think they're definitely going to be top five comic book movie.
Okay.
And I mean, with that, we're throwing in Men in Black. We're throwing in Superman. You know, all the Marvel properties, all the DC properties, all the Image, Boom, IDW properties that have ever been turned into a movie. I would say definitely top three. And I think very close. I would go Superman with Christopher Reeve.
You're getting into the rarefied air.
Yeah, which was, you know, for the time, the standard of how you write a comic book movie. I would then go next with Batman by Tim Burton.
Yes.
And I think in the third spot, I would go Guardians and then Avengers, even though Marvel movie-wise, I would go Avengers, you know, based on what I'm hearing, I would go Avengers, Captain America, Winter Soldier, and then Guardians. I think for overall comic book movie, though, I would go Superman, Chris Reeve, Batman, Tim Burton, and then Guardians. These are the movies to look at on how to write a comic book movie. Because each one in their own right has set standards on how it should be done.
I agree with you on that. I think there's also the thing to keep in mind, going back again to the fact that this was a string of losers. I say losers, but very minor characters they've turned lead into gold here. Imagine what they can do with other groups. I mean, there are what, 5,000-7,000 Marvel characters out there that they have access to?
Yep. Well, it's interesting you say groups, because rumor has it that Dave Bautista, a.k.a. Dracula, is going to have a very significant role in Avengers 3, which, for me, leads me to believe Avengers 3 is going to be more Infinity Gauntlet. So, to me, there's no way they could do a rumored Captain America Civil War as Cap 3, like a lot of people are speculating, because you're killing off way too much before Infinity Gauntlet. And I think it's silly to put a later storyline before a major storyline like Infinity.
See, I don't see Civil War coming out until such time as Marvel Studios gets the rights back on X-Men and Spider-Man and all the others that are floating out there by Fox, Sony, and whoever.
Right.
Because there are too many characters involved with the Civil War that would be owned by other movie houses. Now, could it be that they'll work out some agreement? It's like, okay, well, you could use these characters. It's possible. I don't see it happening.
No.
But I think you're spot on with the Infinity Gauntlet, and if for no other reason, Dave Bautista as Drax the Destroyer, because he did play a role in the comic version of Infinity Gauntlet.
Oh, yeah, and it was a major role.
Yeah, and plus, I mean, you're seeing these Infinity Stones for a reason, and it's not as a red herring.
No, I mean, it's building to something. We wouldn't have Thanos if they weren't building to Infinity Gauntlet.
To me, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, it makes no sense doing Civil War or whatever others that came later and totally build up everything for Infinity Gauntlet and then just blow Infinity Gauntlet off another 10, 15 years.
No, there's a reason you're seeing those now. There's a reason that the Infinity Gauntlet was in Odin's treasure room. There's a reason that you've seen, you know, however many stones so far.
Right.
Yeah. I mean,
there's a reason why in the Thor the Dark World end credit, we see the cocoon of potentially Adam Warlock, and at the end of Guardians, the cocoon's broken open. It's Adam Warlock.
Doubt it.
Not. Coincidence is Howard the Duck. Adam Warlock, I doubt.
I'm just going to call this, I liked Howard the Duck. I liked his little cameo.
I've seen the cameo. I've seen the end credit scene. I enjoyed the cameo. I just didn't like the way he looked.
Well, he's been through a lot.
This is true. This is true.
Give him a makeover before you bring him back into another movie, and I'm good.
Yeah, yeah, I can deal with that. Now, Japanese animation studio Toei will be bringing Guardians of the Galaxy to the Marvel Disc Wars The Avengers animated series for a 2-episode arc. And this started this past weekend. This coming weekend. Started on the 10th, on September 10th, is when this 2-episode story arc started. Yes, sorry, I'm just double checking.
So that was this past Wednesday, yeah.
Correct. The anime series is produced by Toei Animation and Walt Disney Japan, and it's all based on the Marvel Comics universe. The series began airing in Japan back April 2nd of this year on the TX Network. The series is aimed at boys, which, I'm sorry, having a daughter and she loves this stuff as well. I'm going to rename this. The series' name is aimed at kids, 6 to 12, with ties into merchandising by Bandai. Now, is it going to naturally
Is
it going to naturally be more boy driven? Yes, but I'm sure you're going to have girls going after this as well. Now they haven't announced yet who's going to do the voicing of the Guardians, but the voice cast for the Japanese language dub is included in the Crunchyroll link which is crunchyroll.com/anime-news. Oh my lord, this is long. /2014/09/09/video-guardians-of-galaxy-make-their-anime-debut. I will have this link in the show notes, so don't worry about that. You can go back to the show notes.
Thank goodness, because you've got more dashes in there than an Incredibles movie marathon.
I think that he probably wrote this just to get... we know how Dash's ego is.
Yeah. Okay, I have seen... I've seen screenshots of this.
The one screenshot I've seen looks amazing.
Almost.
Okay.
I am not thrilled with the way Rocket looks in this. He doesn't fit the style of the other characters to me. He looks like an old Hanna-Barbera cartoon character.
No, he's got that, he has the more traditional anime animal look to him.
I'm not a fan of it. The other guys I love.
Drax looks amazing.
Yes, Drax looks amazing.
Gamora looks great. Groot looks great. The only two I'm really not sold on, like you said, is Rocket. But I kind of understand the whole, you know, Japanese anime look with him. But Peter Quill, a.k.a. Star-Lord, he's got that Battle Beyond the Planets type of look to him.
Yeah, I can see that.
Or Robotech type feel to him.
Considering as I loved Robotech when it first came, when it came out, yeah, I don't have an issue with that.
So.
And he kind of reminds me of a Rick Hunter type character.
Yeah. My complaint about this is I want to see it here. That's my thing, is how do I see it here? Because, you know, I'm an Avengers junkie. I would have no problems watching. I mean, I love watching Avengers Assemble. I loved Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes. I would love to see this. Marvel Disc Wars, The Avengers. And see a more anime style. Because it's more animation, or more Japanese anime feel, not the CG anime feel. And I like the more traditional look of the anime. So I'm sold on this. I want to see it. So now I'm going to have to figure out how we get to see it here. Because there is no Walt Disney Japan app where we could watch the Walt Disney Japan shows.
That could be problematic, yes.
That could be. Well, problematic. Glad you segues galore tonight. And I'm not wearing a helmet. Sorry.
You better at least get some eye protection. We've got some blue around here.
That was a bad segue joke from Epcot. It's still being pushed that Black Widow still needs to get a movie. And what is it that Marvel needs to just get off the chair? Trying to figure out the polite way to say this. Get off their bums and give Scarlett Johansson her solo film for this character. I think a lot of the concern is Elektra with what happened with Jennifer Garner. But it's been proven, though, with in 2013 with Kate Blanchett with Blue Jasmine, with Jennifer Lawrence with the Hunger Games saga.
I think Jennifer Lawrence did more to dispel that myth than anybody, period.
Yes, I think so. Scarlett Johansson, I mean, look at Lucy. Look at a couple of the others. She could easily carry Black Widow into that role, into her own film, with no problem.
Well, here's a major difference. First of all, there's no Ben Affleck involved with this, so there's no Affleck baggage.
Right.
Also, Johansson as Black Widow, she's had, let's see, Iron Man 2, Avengers, and Cap Winter Soldier.
Right.
She's had three movies to establish her character.
Right.
And so she has a built-in following in and above the comic books, which is something really that Elektra did not have going.
I mean, she almost stole Captain America Winter Soldier.
Well, yes.
To some extent. I mean...
Yes.
Captain America Winter Soldier was... without officially being a team movie, definitely came close to being better than the Avengers because of that.
So I agree with you. Black Widow needs a movie.
Okay.
I think this could be like... It could very easily be like a modern-day female James Bond.
Yes.
I can definitely have that feel to it. I think the main reason that they don't have her in the works for one, well, first of all, did she just have a kid?
She did. Last week.
Yes.
Baby girl named Rose, which we congratulated her on this show.
Yes, congratulations, Miss Johansson. Very, very well done. But I think the thing is, the main thing is timing. I think they've got their list of movies they want out scripted already.
Right.
For the next, you know, well, they said they had it out till 2028.
Correct.
Something tells me there are a few holes in there.
Oh, yeah.
That the Black Widow movie could come in ahead of. But I think they've got the next round or two already figured out.
Yeah.
And they want to bring in other characters and establish other franchises before they go mining the existing ones.
Right.
Does that make sense?
It does. It does.
I want to see a Budapest movie.
I want to see Moon Knight, personally.
For all we know, that's in the works, too.
Very well could
be. It was obliquely referenced in Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
When Sitwell is rattling off all the potential threats, they mentioned some guy in Cairo. Well, how many other Marvel characters are there in Cairo?
True.
I think that was kind of a nod to what they've got working in the pipe.
Right.
That whole list he rattles off.
Right.
So,
go ahead.
I think it'll happen. I think it's just not one of the ones they've got planned to come out next.
I don't think it needs to be phase 3, but I would definitely throw her in phase 4.
Okay. Sounds
personally,
good.
Personally.
Hey, Kevin Feige. I am pronouncing that right. Kevin Feige.
Figgy.
Figgy. Okay. Hey, Figgy, if you're listening to this, and if not, you should be, phase 4, pencil her in. Okay? Thanks. Appreciate you.
Not a problem. On that note, we're going to take a quick break, and you're listening to Mighty Marvel Geeks here on Sorcerer Radio with Mike and Eric.
Welcome to the new sound of Sorcerer Radio. Version 3.0.
Sorcerer Radio presents the Sorcerer Radio app version 3.0.
We have the technology.
Check out our brand new Sorcerer Radio app for all iDevices as well as Android devices.
Better, stronger, faster.
Streaming Disney music 24/7. App highlights include a new broadcast window that shows you what you're listening to and what's coming up next. Multitasking so you can listen to SR as well as perform other tasks on your iPhone.
Gorge!
Listener access to all of our daily shows. The new interface, a new buffered stream, auto reconnect when signal is lost, visual EQ, pause, rewind, and scrub features.
My goodness.
And the new SR info area. Get your virtual Disney World fix today with the new Sorcerer Radio app version 3.0 from Sorcerer Radio.
Be careful with that. It's extremely dangerous.
SRSounds.com.
Rebel Force Radio.
Your source for the Force.
Star Wars news and commentary.
With Jason Swank and Jimmy Mack.
I've seen Star Wars 500 times.
Weekly live shows and podcasts.
RFR.
Like Rebel Force Radio on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Rebel Force Radio.
Your new source for the Force.
Rebel Force Radio. With Jason Swank and Jimmy Mack. Saturdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on Sorcerer Radio. SRSounds.com.
Chip and Company is your daily Disney fix for Disney news, park planning, giveaways, and so much more. Visit our friends from Chip and Company at chipandco.com to get you up to date on all things Disney.
A magic beyond anything you could ever imagine.
Meet the Magic is a site where you can find Disney sites, blogs, and fun new Disney friends. Learn how to save money or make your trip more magical.
Prepare to have your senses awakened.
Visit meetthemagic.com and follow her on Twitter at Meet the Magic, a proud partner of Sorcerer Radio.
It's an adventure too magical to miss.
Dan Barnes here, inviting you to take a ride with me on an all-new edition of E-Ticket Time. I'll be playing the best ride-through audio from all your favorite Walt Disney World attractions. No Fast Pass required here. Just tune in Mondays at 1 p.m. Eastern, only on Sorcerer Radio at srsounds.com.
I am a Jedi. Like my father before me.
Are you a fan of Disney, Star Wars, and Marvel? Well, look no further than JediMouseketeer.com. On this geeky fan site, you'll find the latest news, videos, information on movies, comics, and more. Check out JediMouseketeer.com and follow him on Twitter at JediMouseketeer, a proud partner of Sorcerer Radio.
Remember, the Force will be with you always.
crisis for the geek kind. Top geek officials admit they underestimated the hipster's defense capability. Join the geek revolution and save the galaxy. Geeks from all over the globe are joining up to fight for the future. They're doing their part. Are you? Want to know more? Join Weeby Geeks and the Geek Revolution and save the world. Service guarantees citizenship. Listen to Weeby Geeks podcast on iTunes and Stitcher or online at weebygeeks.net. Weeby Geeks, your voice for the Geek Revolution. Want to know more?
And welcome back to Mighty Marvel Geeks here on Sorcerer Radio. It's Mike and from SORCOM Review, Eric. Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is coming back in 2 weeks.
God, I cannot wait!
It's coming back, what, on the 23rd, correct?
Yes, 23rd.
But it's coming back at 9 p.m., which means it might be, well, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central. I think it might be an 8 p.m. or 9 p.m. Pacific.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be, I think it might get a little edgier because of that.
I don't know that the time slot would make it edgier, but the events at the end of last season,
yes.
Now that's definitely going to make it edgier.
Yes. I'm glad to see, unlike some of the complaints from last season where everyone was going, where are the superheroes? And, you know, other people going, well, it's Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., not Superheroes of S.H.I.E.L.D. Okay, but you still have some interactions with the supers within the books.
Yes.
But I think what they did near the end with the Lorelei tie-in, with the whole uprising and Hydra, I think that was great. They just should have done more of that in the beginning. The whole build-up with unless they do more with Graviton this season, that whole build-up for that one episode, just to go, oh, look at this machine at the end, fell flat.
I would like to see more Graviton. In this, it's a question of whether or not he's truly a bad guy.
True.
Because, I mean, and I kind of like that little anti-hero, you know, hint.
Right.
And I like, touching on the Superheroes of S.H.I.E.L.D. comment, I saw Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as being like, you're seeing things from the perspective of regular humans that have to deal with superheroes in their universe now.
It is the Men in Black of the Marvel Universe.
Yes, essentially. And yes, it started off painfully slow. You had to do that to get the groundwork together.
Yes.
You had to know where these characters came from, what's in their heads, so when the things that happen, you develop a more sense for the character.
Right.
You start to feel for the character. You know, when Skye takes a slug to the gut, that's when I finally started liking her. I mean,
see, but that episode should have happened at the mid-season break, not the whole bridge cliffhanger. Tahiti should have been done before mid-season.
Well, I'm not arguing with you on that one. I think you may be right, but they were handcuffed to some degree because they knew they were tying in very closely to Winter Soldier.
Right.
But there was only so they could only take their storyline so far.
Right.
Happened.
But I think Lorelei, that whole episode with Lorelei and Lady Sif should have happened in the first half of the season, closer to the tie-in of Thor the Dark World, instead of trying to tie it into Thor the Dark World DVD release, DVD Blu-ray
yeah.
release. It would make more
That's
sense.
Still sitting on, that DVD is still sitting on my shelf. I have not watched it yet.
Ah.
So this is where you pay me back for the Guardians things earlier.
I have watched it, and Al Jon, I know he's a big Thor person. I think those were the two weakest movies of the whole Marvel Universe since 2008. I am not. I agree with a lot of people. It should have been renamed Loki, because it's Loki's the more high point of the whole thing than Thor is.
Well, that same argument could be made for the Michael Keaton Batman movie.
Sure.
They should have called it the Joker movie. As a matter of fact, I heard Adam West call it that. So,
well, Adam West was a bitter old man who didn't get the role that he felt he should have been.
Well,
but has since then changed.
Yeah.
Now, the first episode they're calling Shadows, and the brief synopsis, so spoiler alert, but I don't know how much of a spoiler alert it is. Coulson and his teams are now wanted fugitives.
We will not authorize the access this area.
I think you just pissed off Jarvis.
For you, sir, anything.
Jarvis. No, Jarvis. All right, we're going to try this again. Coulson and his team are now wanted fugitives with limited resources.
We are not authorized to access this area.
Tony Stark has let us borrow Jarvis for this show, and I wonder if Tony is messing with us.
What? Stark messing with somebody?
Quite
Say
possible.
It ain't so!
Quite possible. I'll tell you what. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to sit here on the keyboard real quick. I think I got it, and...
Level 7 access.
We're good as gold. We can proceed with this.
Well done.
Coulson and his team are now wanted fugitives with limited resources, but that's not stopping them from keeping the world safe from powerful and unseen threats anywhere. Jarvis. However, with the new members they hardly know, will S.H.I.E.L.D. ever be trusted again? This episode, I guess, is packed with guest stars. You got BJ Britt, who's going to be playing Agent Antoine Triplett, so he's coming back.
I am glad to see Tripp back. I like Tripp. He's a nice link back to the Howling Commandos.
Yes, yeah. And, you know, they have said Howling Commandos will be possibly making a guest appearance off and on through Agent Carter. I still say they need their own show.
Yes.
And each show needs to be, I don't know how they would pull it off with Chris Evans, but I would love to see a couple of this, you know, the season start, season end with Coulson and Cap at a table going, Cap telling stories up until he's frozen. And then mid-season break, come out of mid-season break, and here's Coulson telling Cap stories of the Commandos after he was frozen.
I like that.
And then it ends with the two of them going, cool.
You know,
Kevin Feige, if you're listening, gold right there.
Here's a question. How bad do we want to see the scene where Cap realizes Coulson's alive?
Oh, real bad. Real bad.
I mean, you know, I don't care if it's in Age of Ultron. I don't care if it's in Captain America 3. I don't care. I would love to see it in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 2.
Yeah.
But it's got to happen. Got to happen.
It does. It does. Well, to continue on with the characters in this episode, Nick Blood is playing Agent Lance Hunter. Adrian Pasdar, Mr. Dixie Chick himself, as Brigadier General Glenn Talbot, which that character also has a role from Hulk, right?
Yes. Yes, I remember. Although, I remember a Colonel Talbot, or Major Talbot from the animated series way back in the day.
I think that's where they pulled this from. Which, of course, they took that from a character in the... I thought there was a Talbot in the two movies as well.
It's quite possible. I confess that I have not seen either Hulk movie either.
First one, don't be disappointed. The Edward Norton one... Oh, absolutely brilliant. Loved it.
Yeah. I will add that to my list of things I must see.
But that was just me. Other people. But then again, I liked Howard the Duck, the movie. And
yes, I confess that I did as well.
But then again, that's showing our age. Because people talk about it, it's like, why'd you like that junk?
Back in the day, it wasn't junk.
Back in the day, it was great.
Back in the day, it was like freaking brilliant.
Yeah, pretty much. Henry Simmons as Alfonso Mack McKenzie. Patton Oswalt returns as Agent Bill Koenig. Lucy Lawless as Isabel Izzy Hartley. That one I'm waiting for. Wilmer Cauldron as Idaho. Reed Diamond as Daniel Whitehall. Haley Atwell as Peggy Carter. Brian Patrick Wade as Carl Creel, a.k.a.
The Absorbing Man.
That was going to be fun. Matthew Glaive as Roger Browning. Simon Castaneda-Diaz, I butchered that, I apologize, as Sunil.
I ain't taking a stab at it.
As Sunil Bakshi. George Stephanopoulos as himself. Raquel Gardner as Carla Talbot. Ben Turner Nixon as Hydra Officer. Franco Vega as Military Leader. Rich Sorello as Soldier Number 1. And J.B. Tadina as Private Soldier.
Hail Hydra.
Hail Hydra!
So that's your wrap-up of Shadows, the premiere of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., coming to you September 23rd. So
I'm looking forward to it.
That synopsis was brought to us by Hydra.
Okay.
Now, I guess there's the Toronto International Film Festival. Has it wrapped, or is it still going?
I think it may be wrapped.
Okay. Well, Chris Evans was there promoting his new film, Before We Go. And, of course, who wouldn't be asking the questions or taking the opportunity to ask? They're asking Evans about how much will Avengers Age of Ultron lead into Captain America 3? Well, Evans' reply was, "That's the beauty of the Marvel Universe. It's this giant web of plot where everything is kind of connected to everything else. Whether it's Thor, whether it's Iron Man, whether it's the Avengers, everything is kind of involved. That's the beautiful thing, and especially for the fanboys who understand these plot lines. Every time there's a new film announced, there's a surge of excitement as to where they're going to go. I think Cap 3, we're going to continue that excitement." So when it was brought up about who are you handing the shield off to, whether it's going to be Captain America or Bucky or Falcon, Evan came back and said, "Who's handing off the shield? Don't take my job from me prematurely, dude." Spoiler, possibly?
You know, I think it's possible. I mean, how many movies does Evans have remaining on his contract? Cap 3 and Avengers 3 after Age of Ultron?
Possibly. Unless he... And I'm almost sensing Cap 3 is probably going to be something similar maybe Dimension Z, which just kind of wrapped. To go with the other story we have about Captain America 3, apparently Kevin Feige has the title, and it's a title he's had for, I think they said, 10 years. The title could be released shortly, which mean now to Avengers Age of Ultron. But they say it's going to be a major, major role. There's already rumors now that Avengers 3 or Avengers Age of Ultron, Cap's going to actually create a new Avengers group.
The West Coast Avengers, maybe?
Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch were. I know Hawkeye was.
Yes.
And they're saying Hawkeye's going to have more of a role in the next Cap movie.
Think about it. I mean, that's making sense.
Yeah. The other direction I went was the new Avengers. If they're going more of possibly introducing Doctor Strange and introducing Black Panther in Phase 3.
I can see that too.
So
I really want to see both of those.
Maybe it will be a blend of West Coast New Avengers or Young Avengers, something. I don't know. West Coast, I'd be all over, because that was the Marvel book I loved as a kid.
Yeah.
And Marvel's slowly bringing more and more of them out on Marvel Unlimited. Just wish they hurry up and get the rest out. I guess the one quote coming from Crave Online was, "If you've been talking to Kevin, the title has been in place probably for 10 years in his brain. It's all part of the roadmap that he's laid out, and it's all part of the bigger plan." Well, obviously, 10 years, I might not know my history right. That's pre-Civil War, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's not
so.
Not Civil War.
Go ahead.
Well, Winter Soldier happened more within the last 10 years. So for something like this, this could be a story that could go backwards and not really screw up what we know, what us the fans know, as, well, you can't do that because that happened first scenario, unlike Civil War before Infinity Gauntlet.
Well, at the same time, and I know that I agreed with you, you got to do the Infinity Gauntlet first, but this is creating a new universe.
Correct. It's a universe.
It's not.
It's what? Marvel
whichever
Universe?
Whichever it is.
1999999999999. That Beatles
whichever
song.
Whichever it is. It's not the same universe as the comics, is what I'm saying. If they want to pull, like, this is an event we want to bring to the big screen, but it takes place after some other event, who's to say they can't bring it in?
Right. But I think it'd be silly for them to bring in Civil War before Infinity Gauntlet, especially when we don't have the rest of the makeup, and there's not enough characters right now to carry off Civil War.
I agree with you on Civil War. I agree with you on Civil War. You don't have enough characters in-house to pull it off. Plus, you've been building up to Infinity Gauntlet.
Right.
I'm in full agreement with you on that one. I'm just saying, if there's an element of Civil War that they want to bring in, like, say, I don't know, maybe Captain America dying.
True.
You know?
But then again, Iron Man also dies at that same storyline.
Yeah. I mean, you're free to bring in your own storylines if you want to riff off one angle from something,
right,
go for it. But considering where Evans's contract status is, and considering where Sebastian Stan's contract status is,
right?
I mean, what was it? 9 movie deal?
Yep. And then, of course, you also got Maggie.
You won't be able to sling a dead cat without bumping into a Winter Soldier cameo or movie.
Exactly.
So what I see happening is that at the end of Captain America 3, he will exit. Maybe he's the Super Soldier Serum starts wearing out, and he starts, you know, aging rapidly, kind of like what's going on in the comics now.
Right.
And he just has to turn over the shield to somebody. One way or another, Bucky / Winter Soldier is going to become the new Cap.
Right.
It's a natural progression. It's a natural transition because they both had some version of the serum injected.
Right. I still think there's still, if the comic is a cue for plans from the movies, I still think Falcon could possibly still get the role. If they're going to potentially carry on with more Winter Soldier movies, like a Winter Soldier 1 and 2 type deal, especially if they base it on the books that were put out a while ago based around his character in the current one, which is the Winter Soldier: The Bitter March. But how about this as a potential for Captain America 3? Captain America 3: Heroes Reborn. Coming from the Heroes Reborn crossover from 96-97.
You think that may be... So if Cap buys it in Avengers 2...
Which, with all the pictures we saw from Comic-Con, the shield's broken. This could be Heroes Reborn. Especially if he's possibly building a new team.
That's definitely a possibility.
That right there might be the one, and that's the one people haven't been talking about. But I could see if this is something that's been 10 years. Well, that was late 90s. 10 years ago was 2004, which was 4 years before Disney bought Marvel.
Maybe Feige's always had an idea. This may be what he's always wanted to do.
Could be.
Like Walt Disney always wanted to do a Beauty and the Beast, but he never got a chance to in his lifetime. Biggie's Beauty and the Beast.
This is true. Very true. I'm going to say just real quick, we're running a little low on time, so we're going to rush through this. But it's been great conversation. I mean, can't go wrong there. But it's that one segment that I think everyone looks forward to here at Mighty Marvel Geeks. And that would be our new comic book picks of the week for September 17th. What do you have as your first pick for this upcoming week?
I'm going to save what I think is my biggest one for last.
Okay.
And I'm going to start off with Nova number 21. Spinning right out of the events of Original Sin, Sam has new information about his dad, both newly revealed and troubling secrets and his whereabouts. It's up to Sam to find his former Nova father halfway across the universe and give him either salvation or justice.
Very cool. I'm going with Elektra number 6 for my first pick. The second arc of the critically acclaimed ongoing Elektra series pits Elektra against the enraged Assassin's Guild. After her life and death battles with Cape Crow, Bloody Lips, Lady Bullseye, Scalp Hunter, Elektra vows to take the fight to the Guild itself. It's Elektra versus the world as she begins hunting down the Guild's agents before they can find her and her allies. So,
nice.
Number 2.
Okay, my number 2 is Daredevil number 8. Matt Murdock takes on his first big case in his new hometown. That's San Francisco, by the way, for those of you who didn't know. And the opposition is killer. Daredevil is faced with a menace he has no idea how to fight, the Purple Children.
Awesome. I went for my number 2. Deadpool biannual, huh? Catch that? Tied that in just right. When Deadpool is hired by Waterworld to protect their theme park from activists.
Kevin Costner?
Must be.
Okay.
He has no idea he's going to wind up face to snout with brute force, protectors of the environment. Look them up. That's right. They're real.
Dude, I collected the original miniseries that introduced these guys. They're animals with exoskeletons. And what's is what I will never forget this one panel where the dolphin guy has been in a battle and his radio gets busted. So you see him using a phone booth, or trying to, because he's so big and massive, he could just barely fit, you know, like his head in. So it's I'm gonna have to see if I can find that somewhere.
I'm gonna have to look for it on Marvel Unlimited if it's there.
Yeah, I mean it was so absurd of a concept. It was cool.
Yeah,
it's kind of like so bad it's good kind of thing.
See, that's why I love the unique oddball stuff, like all new dupe or brute force. Just because they are so unique. So what's your number three pick?
My final pick of the week is Thor, God of Thunder, number 25. And this is, I believe, the last time we will see the real Thor be Thor. The cover says, God-sized final issue. And it says, redefining the word epic, it's the God-sized 25th issue of Thor, God of Thunder, featuring an amazing artistic lineup. Young Thor versus Frost Giants. The untold origin of Malekith the Accursed. King Thor's granddaughters uncover a startling secret chapter from the history of the Thunder God. And Thor deals with the shocking fallout from Original Sin.
Interesting. So Original Sin is going to be the cause for him losing the hammer.
There you go.
Well, my last pick is I went with this issue last week. So I'm wondering if this is going to be a weekly series. One that comes out weekly. I went with Edge of Spider-Verse number 2, which is Gwen Stacy, Spider-Woman. In one universe, it wasn't Peter Parker bitten by the radioactive spider, but Gwen Stacy. Man, she was a dead ringer. Too soon.
Wah, 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 wah.
She's smart, she's charming, and can lift a car. Just don't tell her police chief father. How is she involved in Spider-Verse? Seeds of Amazing Spider-Man number 9 are planted here. Man, that last one was about as bad as mine with the dead ringer. Man, oh snap.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead, while I'm thinking about it, I'm going to put in a top three for a couple of weeks out.
Okay.
Because these are some that I am looking forward to. For September 28th through October 4th.
Okay, so that'd be for October 1st.
Yeah, right around there.
New comic book day.
Okay. Rocket Raccoon number 4.
Okay.
Guardians 3000 number 1, because this is the original Guardians team, and they have a variant cover of all of them standing looking at this kid going, hey, where's Rocket?
Right.
And finally, and the one that I'm looking forward to most, Figment number 5.
The wrap up, yes.
I have been enjoying the crap out of this series so far. And I know you had Jim Zub on a few weeks ago.
Yes.
I think he's done a very good job with it. It's been kind of trippy, here and there.
Well,
and by here and there, I mean most of the way through. But it captures the spirit of the original Journey into Imagination attraction, and I think it's fantastic.
Well, when the original Dream Fighter comes out and complements the book, when the book through, I think even issue 4, second printing, I mean, come on, you can't tell me that this should not be on the Eisner list for series.
Well, I love the steampunk look. Because that was kind of present in the original incarnation of the ride, but
yep.
I love that thing. I think it fits perfectly.
It was steampunk before steampunk was steampunk.
Yes, it was. And I was looking on a Facebook group not too long ago, and somebody posted the number 4 cover and said Marvel has made a comic, has decided to make a comic based on an obscure Disney character. And I'm like, dude, Dreamfinder and Figment are about as obscure in Disney circles as Ant-Man is in Marvel circles.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're in the fan base, you know who it is. If you're not, well, that's your own problem.
Well, I'll tell you what I would love to see next. I would love to see Alien Encounter just for Skippy.
Yes. Yes, I would like to see that.
So.
I'm also weird in wanting to. I may be weird in this, but I also want to see a big Thunder Mountain.
Yeah, that would be an amazing backstory to get into. Yeah, but anyhow, those are our picks for this week, and of course, the picks that Eric has for October 1st. That's going to wrap it up for this week. Man, it's flown.
Yeah.
Great conversation. I think.
Thanks for inviting me to sit in with you tonight.
I'm glad you were able to sit in. And you're welcome back anytime. You can write to us about any stories or topics at mmg@weebiegeeks.net, which is where you'll find the podcast at 6:16 Sunday morning. You're listening to us now, as you probably do every week, as part of Geek Out Saturday Nights on Sorcerer Radio, in which we follow Rebel Force Radio at 7, and of course we're on at 8. Until next time, I say thank you again to Eric.
And thank you again for having me.
And until next time, support your local brick and mortar. If there's not one close, go digital. So until next time.
This has been a Weebie Geeks production.